and invite you now to take your Bibles with me, and we'll turn to 3 John once again. And for the last time, we'll be concluding our series in 3 John, where we've been talking about working together for the truth. We'll be looking in particular at verses 11 through 15. I'm going to read 9 through 15 just for some context. If you didn't get a listening guide, you can put your hand up and somebody will get you one of those. It will help you to follow along. Remember now, John is doing three things essentially. He's commending his dear friend Gaius. This is the Apostle John writing to his friend Gaius, commending his friend because he worked in support of gospel ministry. He supported missionaries and ministers of the gospel. He joked that he had them into his own home. We called it the Gaius Grand Hotel. He's living with a priority for Jesus' name, but there was trouble because there was a man named Diotrephes who was not living with a concern for Jesus' name, but he loved his own name and wanted to be first and was unwilling to work with others for the gospel of Christ. And John condemned this man, and now in concluding this letter to his friend Gaius, he leaves his friend with a final word of instruction, something for his friend to imitate. So let's hear the word of the Lord from the letter of 3 John. Beginning with verse 9, the Apostle John wrote, "I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to pray with me now to the Lord, and let's ask for his help that we could hear his word and respond to it this morning. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. You are holy, you are merciful and mighty. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, clearing away our sins and giving us hope in the midst of suffering, knowing that your own Son suffered but was raised by you and is seated at your right hand. We know we have good hope as we believe in Christ and as we live for him. We are hungry for your word, O Lord. We need to drink deeply from it. Each of us comes here this morning with questions, with burdens upon our heart, and with need from you, O Lord, to hear your word as it speaks to us and tells us how much you love us, tells us again of your plan for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how you desire to walk with us through all of life. So teach us, Lord, now in this time. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, in concluding the series, talking about being workers for the truth, talking about being workers for the gospel, I think what's clear from these final verses, John was communicating that workers for the truth must be imitators of good. Workers for the truth must be imitators of good. To imitate something is to follow in its footsteps. Monkey see, monkey do, I see a monkey just like you, right? We tend to imitate things we know, or we tend to imitate things that we have seen. So for example, when I was growing up in middle school and in high school, as I learned how to be a runner, I would study different forms of runners. And I would see one kind of runner whose arms would just sort of flail all over the place, you know, or some people's arms would always seem to do like this chicken wing thing. It was very confusing, or they just keep their head down the whole time. It looked like it was just plain misery, you know. And then I'd see a different kind of runner who would run, instead of arms flailing, would be very much under control, head up, looking forward, driving towards the finish line. And I thought, that's the one I want to imitate. I don't want to imitate the goofy guy over there. His arms looks like they're creating more drag as he's trying to, you know, advance faster. So I want to imitate the best kind of runner that I can. And similarly, as believers in Christ, as we aim to work for the truth of Christ, it matters who we choose to model ourselves after. It matters what we decide we will imitate, what we will copy. So we can't always learn to imitate what we see around us. We have to learn to imitate the Lord who lives above us. There's no shortage of bad examples around us. There's going to be a time and a place, especially, where we have to look to the Lord as our example. And just reminding ourselves now, for followers of Jesus, we've said in the past few weeks, we've understood he is the truth to be told. Through faith in Jesus, we are saved from our sins and we are delivered from suffering. In Jesus Christ is the forgiveness we're looking for. There is the healing which we all need for the hurts which we have all experienced. There is hope in Jesus Christ of a kingdom that is not of this world, a kingdom that will endure forever. And we're not just saved from sins, we're sent to be disciples of his name, and we're to be supporting the spread of the gospel. It's not just what serves me, but I'm willing to serve other people or work with other people for the sake of Christ's name. Remember, we said we're assigning worth to Jesus' name by the work that we decide to do. And Gaius was doing that. His life's work was demonstrating his life's faith. When he said, I really want to work for the truth of the gospel, it was backed up by the fact that he was supporting those. He was working together with missionaries and ministers. He was a vital part of the local church. He got it. He said, I'm created for good works in Christ. I'm going to cooperate with other believers for the sake of Christ. Can't do it alone. I'm going to do it with others. But Gaius the Good was faced with Diotrephes the Discourager. You'll love my alliterations. They're helpful to me. I hope they're helpful for you. But this man was actively opposing work for the truth. He gave the priority to himself, and he shut out those who wanted to work for the Lord, those who wanted to work for the truth. And, you know, sometimes those who are doing good can be brought down or discouraged by those who are doing evil. I could almost ask you by show of hands, was there any course throughout this week where the bad example of another or the bad news of evil done wrong actually brought you down in your desire to do what was good and your desire to do what was right? Especially to live as a witness for Jesus Christ. You know, it's a lot like a National Geographic, you know. They say the lonely elk is out there on the plains and the pack of wolves are surrounding the elk, you know. And you're hoping, you know, come on, lonely elk, get away. Don't get pulled down by the wolves, you know. You want to see the elk survive. And John writes to his dear friend Gaius, and he says, remember to imitate what is good. Be a son of your Father who lives in heaven. Remember who you want to imitate now. We're not earning the grace of God, but we are giving evidence of the grace of God that we have received. I show you this picture here. I learned the power of imitation from a young age in kindergarten, and with my kindergarten teacher. Her name was Miss Ferrelli, and she picked a line leader. Every time, whenever the students had to be let out on the way to recess or let out down to the cafeteria for lunch, and then on the way back from the cafeteria and lunch, you know, it was a special role. It was the line leader, and she had a plastic wand with a light-up star. And I can't even remember what color this thing was, but, I mean, this wand was the envy of every 5- and 6-year-old in that class. And when you had it, you had to be on your best behavior. You had to stay in line. You were the example to follow. And no matter where you were in the line, you could look ahead and see the light-up star. And it was immensely helpful because I had something to imitate. When other students would start goofing off, when they'd start shoving each other or say, let's run out of the line, let's run down the hall, or let's run into the library, I could say, you guys do whatever you want. I'm following the magic wand at the end of the line. I am following the line leader. And, you know, the funny thing that happened one day, I got to be the line leader. The teacher picked me, and I remember I have little bits of memories, and my memory's terrible, my wife will tell you, but I remember that, you know, and holding the little light-up wand in front of me and getting to be the example for others to follow. And it's the same way for us as we seek to live for Jesus Christ in a world that is not our home. We cannot always be shaped by what we see around us. Sometimes we have good examples around us. Sometimes we don't have good examples around us. If we always drop to the lowest common denominator, we will not be imitating the good which Christ our Savior has called us to. My mom used to say, what good is it if your friends are jumping off a cliff and you follow them? It doesn't do you any good to follow your friends who are jumping off a cliff. So we know God is our judge of what is good, but God is also our Father who's we've believed in Christ, and we want to be like his sons, like his daughters. You say, he's my standard. Christ is my identity that I am to prove I belong to him in the way that I live. And to that end, John gives us, I think, three motivations or three things we can see observing the way that he wrote here for why we want to be imitators of good. And first of all, it's because it's the test of our faith. Imitating good is the test of our faith. Look at verse 11 with me again. John said, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Since God is good, those who belong to God will have evidence of it in their lives. They themselves will do the good that God himself intends for us to do. John is saying to Gaius, look, belief in Jesus Christ plays itself out as behavior in Jesus Christ. You're talking, you know, how do we see God? You know, you tell your friends, I know God, I've seen God. And it's an honest question somebody might ask. How do you see God? How do you know God? And I think it's important that we use Scripture to interpret Scripture when he talks about this. I'm just going to read briefly from, this is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, this is to Thomas and to his apostles there. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me, Jesus Christ says, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Verse 12, now we get past belief to imitation. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. So you see, we come to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I still remember the day my uncle was reading the scriptures to us and began to unfold that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And up to that moment, I had not seen God. I didn't know God. And then I understood the Spirit opened our hearts. He opens our hearts and minds to believe. Here is the love of God shed abroad on the cross for you. Here is the Savior who has suffered like you have in the world. Here is the one who's risen for you to have eternal life. And so when we come to believe in Jesus Christ, we know God's love, and we see the good of God, and then we begin to show God's love. We begin to do the very good that God himself is doing. And that's why John can say, whoever does evil, as Diotrephes was doing, not showing hospitality to others, not working for the name of Christ, he says, whoever does evil has not seen God. They do not know how to imitate God because they do not know his son, Jesus Christ. And you know, that makes sense because you can only imitate something you know. You can only imitate something you've seen. It's like when you try to start to repair something and you act like you know what you're doing. I do it all the time at home. My wife says, can you fix this? Oh, definitely. I got this. I get up to it. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing here, right? And I remember vividly one time watching a friend of mine try to jump a dead battery on his car. And he seemed like he knew what he was doing, and he hooked everything up. Yeah, I know some stuff about electricity and cables. I said, okay, great, he's got it. And I mean, man, there were sparks just arcing, just shooting out of underneath the hood of the car. And I said, you have no idea what you're doing. Give me the cables. Let me show you how to do this properly. I knew specifically how to jump a dead car battery. I was not talking generally about electricity and cables. And you know, you can only imitate what you know. And it's true also spiritually in our relationship with God. By what we know how to do, we reveal whether or not we've come to know God through Christ. You talk with people generally, and they're like, sure, I know a thing or two about love. I know what's good. And you're like, no, I'm talking specifically about love defined by God and good as it's defined by God in Jesus Christ. And people say, well, I'm not so big on that kind of love and on that kind of good. Well, this is what we're talking about. Imitating this kind of good is the test of our faith. So just applying it to ourselves, you know, once we understand Christ's perfect life, we don't base our behavior on what others are doing, but on what Jesus did. Like, does somebody say this is right or wrong? What do they say? Well, what does Christ say about it? That's the test of our faith. We understand Jesus, once we understand Jesus died as a sacrifice for our sins, if we truly believe in Christ, we will no longer delight in the sins for which he died for. We still stumble in many ways, but it's what we do after we stumble that realizes we now treasure the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. When we look to Christ and we see his suffering, when we see that God, the Son, left heaven and suffered as we do, was mistreated, was murdered, was scorned upon the cross, was mocked even as his final breath left him, we understand, I know a God who has not left me alone in suffering. He's not left the world. He's not evil. He's good. He's so good that he suffered in our place. He's very good. Again, there's other examples. Once we believe in the hope of the resurrection, we want to live for the world that is to come. We're not trying to live for whatever we can do with the time that we got. We have a concern for the name of Christ. We want to see our name glorifying his name. So a person who truly believes in Christ, they want to be a son of their Father in heaven. Obedience is the test of our faith, not because we're earning grace, but because we're showing evidence that we have received grace. And John's encouraging Gaius with this. He's basically saying, look, this is a test, Gaius. Don't sink to the level of Diotrephes, who wants to save his own skin, who wants to shut other people out, he doesn't want to show the love of God to others. He doesn't want to do the good of God with his life. He's looking out for the good of himself. He's not showing kindness to others. He's saying, look, that's the example of someone who doesn't know God. But you guys, you have seen God. You do know Jesus Christ. And so you need to learn to do as your Father in heaven does. It's like having an ID card in your wallet and you pull it out. And it's almost like you could remind yourself wherever you are, at home, among your family, when you're at school, when you're doing whatever form of recreation you do, whether you're out in a restaurant or you're hanging out with friends, you remember your identification. I need to be an imitator of good as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's who I'm supposed to reveal who I belong to. In 1 John, the Apostle John wrote more there. He said, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness, but whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Good reminder about how if we've known God, it will show itself in our lives. So our profession of faith is tested by our practice of faith. We need to consider that this morning. My profession of faith is tested by my practice of faith. What does your practice of faith reveal about your standing with Jesus Christ? Has the example of Jesus come to mean something to you? Has he become your example? Has the suffering of Jesus come to be something that reminds you about how near God has come to you and your own hurts? Has the sacrifice of Jesus for sinners led you yourself to understand, I need forgiveness for my sins before God, and Christ is the way for my sins to be forgiven? Has all these things about who Christ is, his resurrection, has he become the one I'm turning to and trusting in as my Savior and as my Lord? When you do, it's his mission that will redefine your life. You'll know his forgiveness. You'll know his freedom. You'll know the peace that he gives you. It's not going to be an easy one. But you'll know your faith is in Christ because then you'll begin to practice what Christ wants you to do. You'll begin to change who you are. And speaking to that end, as a believer, for those of us who are following Christ, are we remembering whose we are? It's a good moment to just consider again this morning, what do you love to imitate? What do you admire and aspire to be? You know, we love to copy accents. We love to copy athletes, you know. But when we really get down to the desires of our heart, who do we want to be like? To conform to those around us is natural, but to be transformed into the image of Christ is supernatural. So this week, when we're treated wrongly, how are you going to have to recall the Savior that you're called to imitate, the one who fulfilled the law perfectly by turning the other cheek, by not repaying evil for evil? When we're tempted to be self-serving, again, we have to look to Christ. Maybe this week and say, you know what, I need to look to Jesus as the one who served his Father while he was on earth. What will it look like for me to serve the Father with all that I have? When I'm growing weary of doing good, I'm going to have to recall the farmer who waits patiently as he sows the seeds into the soil. He doesn't immediately see fruit, but he patiently does the work, knowing there will be a harvest that comes in due time. When our outer self is wasting away, we have to remember we're following Christ, the one who is renewing us inwardly, daily. And we're saying, this is what I want to focus on. These are the things you're probably going to have to focus on this week because you're going to be faced with difficulty. You're going to face your outer self wasting away this week. My knee has been killing me for the past 2 weeks. That's a new thing of being 31. What do you aspire to be? We want to aspire to be people who are being made into the image of Christ, whose you are. Remember that ID card, if you will, that's in your wallet. I'm a son of my Father in heaven. I need to imitate what is good and not what is evil. And you know, you think about that and say, you know, where do I need to do this? How can I make Christ more visible to others in my life even too? You know, when people who don't know God, who haven't seen God, and they're like the person with the spark plugs, and the conflict in the marriage is there, or the difficulty in work is there, or the argument with the coworker is there, and the sparks are flying, and they're shooting at, if you will, they don't know how to jump the dead car battery, and you say, hey, you're doing that all wrong. Let me show you God's way for you in this. Let me show you God's plan and the good that he intends for you to do in this. Let me show you the Savior who you can belong to and can imitate in this situation. And you know, it's not just, your obedience is not just for you, it's for others as well. Gaius might have thought, why me? Why do I have to be the lone guy out here dealing with Diotrephes, this bully? You know, well, as Gaius's faith was tested, he became an example. God always triumphs over evil for our good. So when we're faced with evil, it does not have to bring us down. We can say, I know whom I've believed in. He's going to guard me. He's going to keep me. He's going to work all things together for my good. So joy is not based on the absence of trials, but actually what our confidence, where it lies as we go through the trials. So I'm being tested, but God's making me a guide to others. I have to show the evidence of my faith. That's good, because others need it now more than ever. When we're faced with evil, it doesn't need to weaken our walk. It should actually strengthen our walk, because people need to see you now more than ever imitating what's good. So who's watching you, and who might you lead to be, who by your example can you lead to the hope that is in Christ? Think about that. Truly think about that this week, and pray for that person and maybe those persons this week, and say, Lord, by my example of following Christ, I want others to see God through my walk. So imitating good is the test of our faith. Secondly, imitating good is the testimony of our faith. And the last point will be really brief, so don't worry. Imitating good is the testimony of our faith. Verse 12, look there with me. John now writes about his friend Demetrius, and he says, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. This is the only place in Scripture where we think that this Demetrius gets a shout out. It'd be pretty cool when we get to heaven as followers of Christ. We'll meet Demetrius and say, hey, did you see my name? It was written in verse 12 of John's third letter. And he might be able to do a humble brag and say, where was your name written? Oh, it wasn't in there. I'm sorry. But I doubt he'll do that, because Demetrius was a good example. So he is one of the traveling missionaries sent by the Apostle John. He probably carried the very letter that we're reading. He was probably the guy that was delivering the letter to Gaius. And so John includes a word about the mailman who came, if you will. And even though Demetrius was getting a bad rap from the one, Diotrephes, Demetrius, on the other hand, received a good testimony from the many. You know, I thought this week, you can always find somebody who will be against you. You can always find one person who hates your guts. And you could always find another person who you could call to talk about the person who hates your guts, right? Somebody who will always approve of you and talk bad about the other person. But at the end of the day, that is just a lot of talk. It's the talk of one. It's the talk of another. What really matters is the testimony of the many. That's what's actually of value, living in such a way that receives a good testimony from everyone and from the word itself. Imitating good is the way that you and I receive a good testimony. Think about it like being at a party. You know, you're going around the table and you're sitting down and you're hearing everybody give a testimony about themselves. Maybe it's a wedding party. Maybe it's somebody's birthday party. You know, it's no different whether it's a very formal setting with big tables or you're just sitting on a couch in a living room. And there's nothing worse than sitting with a bunch of me monsters, you know, where everyone is praising themselves and they're just tooting their own horn, right? You sit down and they're talking about how great their kids are, or they're talking about how great their job is. And you're thinking, my kids are terrible and I hate my job. I don't want to go back there tomorrow. Or, you know, you listen to this person, and after a while you think that pretty much this person thinks they're smarter than everybody else, they know better than their boss, they got more money than they know what to do with right now, and you're basically looking around and saying, I'd like a do-over, I need to pick another table, because this one's not working out for me. Maybe I'll go sit outside on the back porch, and it's no fun. Or maybe you are the meat monster. Maybe somebody has to elbow you, maybe your wife has to elbow you and say, stop talking so much about yourself, you're sucking up all the oxygen in the room, and people are like flowers. They're just wilting. You're killing them with your words. Just give it a rest already, right? Now, how different it is when you sit down at a table and you hear people sing the praises of somebody else. And not only one person sings the praises of somebody else, but a second person and a third person and a fourth, a fifth person praises the conduct of an individual or how somebody is in their family or how somebody is in their work or what they're doing in their church, how they're sharing the gospel with others or the trials they're enduring with faithfulness to God. And all of a sudden you're sitting there and you say, I would like to meet this person. I want to talk to that person because it's not just themselves saying they're worth something, but other people are recognizing something that is admirable in that person. We would prefer others to be able to sing our praises for us. Whether it's at a job interview, you want your past employers to give you a good reference. You're like, I see here that you noted your past employer was such and such. You're like, yeah, what'd they say? You know, and you would prefer to get a good reference. Or if you're with your boyfriend or girlfriend or your fiance and you're meeting their parents, you hope that he or she will talk you up rather than talk you down. You don't want the end of the dinner to be like, you know, why are you with this guy after all? You're like, dessert anybody? You know, you want others to speak. We want others to be able to give a good testimony about us. That's really what we hunger for. That's really what we desire. And John is able to give a good introduction about this man named Demetrius. He has a good testimony from everyone. That's referring to other believers, the multitude of believers at this time, the surrounding churches. He gets a good testimony from the Word of God itself. The Word of God is in the way of Demetrius's life. And John adds his own testimony. And John says, what a statement to be able to make. John says, we add our testimony about Demetrius. He's a good guy following the Lord, and you know our testimony is true. What does that mean? John is somebody who has taken hold of the truth of Jesus Christ. And when you are taking hold of truth, you say what is true. You don't tell lies. So John can say, you know, in the way that I live my life, in Christ who I follow, who is true, you know that my testimony about anything is true. Because when you're holding on to the truth, you can't be telling lies. You'll end up telling the truth because it's who you are. You're consistent in what you're following. And so how did Demetrius receive that testimony? How do I receive that testimony? You might be thinking, you know, yourself, how do I have a good testimony like Demetrius? Well, it wasn't by convincing other people with his words. It was by proving his conduct by his actions, by his being an imitator of good. He imitated the good that God had called us to do. And he received a good testimony about it. You say, that seems pretty slow, a pretty slow process. It is. It's one brick upon another, building the testimony of a life that is shaped not by what's around you, but by the Lord Jesus Christ who's above us and who lives within those who believe in him. And just pause for a moment. And this, you know, I know this is kind of deep because we live so much for a moment, and moment after moment after moment. We forget, man, God is holding all the moments together. Life is much more than just one instant. It's not just what you can do in a minute, but what God is doing with your lifetime for his work. So what kind of a name are you fishing for? What kind of a name am I fishing for? I love going down to Lake Erie, and I love walking up onto the pier, and I like taking people from the south up there in the wintertime because it just freezes them to their bones. It's great. You know, they're running back off the pier to get off there, but it's great in the summer. You go up there, and people are fishing, and I love talking to folks. What are you trying to catch? You know, and I'll say, I'm trying to catch perch, or I'm trying to catch walleye, you know, and I say, what kind of bait are you using? You know, what kind of lures? And they crack open the box, and they say, this kind of fish likes this one, and this kind of fish is attracted to this kind of lure, you know, and it's not that much different with the way that we choose to live our lives, with the kind of name that we hope to get for ourselves, and what kind of bait we're going to use, if you will, or what kind of lures we're going to get. We know how to try to get people to say nice things about us or to try to manipulate people to like us more for other reasons. But you know what? The change is becoming like Demetrius, saying, I should be content with and being committed to imitating what is good. And if I imitate what is good across the board, it doesn't matter. I'll be fishing for the right testimony of a good character from God. And others will either see it or they won't. But those who matter most will see it and give testimony, again, of the good life of a Christian following Christ. It comes by being close enough to others. It comes by living a life that has evidence of God's work in you. And John's telling his friend, don't be Diotrephes. Do be like Demetrius. So, and applying something like this to our lives, okay, imitating good is how we receive a good testimony. just reflect for a moment. You know, any name we might try to make for ourselves does not compare with the name that God wants to give you in Jesus Christ. You remember the people in Genesis? We taught on it a couple months ago now at the Tower of Babel. They got together and they said, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's make a tower with its top in the heavens and make a name for ourselves. They said, let's lift ourselves up rather than bow ourselves down to God, and we'll be great. And you know, the funny thing is, even though they built that tower all the way up, Genesis, Moses, as he writes that, is careful to say, and God came down to see what they were doing. As high as we lift ourselves up, God still has to come down to see who we are. His standard of holiness, way above what we are. We can't measure up in our obedience to him. His standard of goodness, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of it. And we need God to cover us with the name of his son, Jesus. We need the blood of Christ shed for our sins. We need the resurrection of Christ to give us, there's no eternal life can be bought by money or some accomplishments that we can do. We need the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we ourselves will be raised from the dead. We need his obedience. We need his perfect life to cover us and say, I need to become more like him every day. I might have made some progress, but I'm sure not done yet. And there's always going to be new situations that come into your life where you're saying, I'm going to need wisdom from God to know how to live. I don't want my walk to end because I was met with something that I stopped learning. I didn't learn how to deal with it or how to handle it. And my walk with Christ stopped when I stopped learning how to deal with what was in my life. We want the name that God gives us in his son. And maybe you're here today and you've chased after every other thing. You've tried to find delight in every other name you could make for yourself. And you look at this man, Demetrius, and you see the good testimony he's got, and you're thinking about yourself, and the Bible is saying to you, it's time to stop. It's time to turn to Jesus Christ and discover the riches of all that God has for you in him. He forgives, he frees us, he heals us from our hurts, he fulfills us. And you know, when you begin to delight in Jesus Christ, you'll actually find life becomes a delight to live, that there's really joy in life. When you find Jesus and you begin to live for Jesus, he'll put his name upon you. And as believers, man, we should care about having this kind of testimony. And you think for a moment, what do I really want other people to see in me? As a father, as a mother, as a peer, as a coworker, what do I really want other people to see in me? Do I want people to see a big car, a big mortgage, which is with your big house, right? Do I want people to see my big successes and accomplishments? Do I want to be in a big church, you know? Or do I want people to see in me when they think of Tony or they think of you put your name in the blank, that person delights in righteousness. This person is huge in the amount of mercy they show to others because they know God's mercy for them. This person is so patient with their children and with others. I don't know where they get this patience from, but it's, you know, it begins to paint a picture. They're patient because they know God's patience with them. We want to be people who, when people say our name, they say these people want to see others restored from hurts done to them or from people who've done wrong. They want to see other people brought back. They want to see people restored because they themselves know the God who restores those who've been hurt and corrects those who are wrong and makes a way for people to learn from their mistakes. Just one more. You know, we want to be known as people who, we're known that when we serve the least of these, we did it because we knew it was as if we were serving the Lord Jesus himself. We want to be the kind of people who are imitators of good to others, where we're not waiting, we're not looking at our watch with people saying, I can't wait till I'm done being in the presence of this person. I can get beyond this person, or I can be done with them, or, you know, I want to be quick to jump on the things that really matter to me. We want to be people who are known. Our greatest desire is to imitate what is good and to do good to others. We understand that life was never about hoarding things for ourselves, but using it all in service to Christ. And we realize, you know, only by being an imitator of good can I really get the kind of testimony that I actually want for myself and before God. So let's help each other fish for that kind of name. In closing, we've seen that imitating good is what our faith is tested by. Imitating good is the way that we receive a testimony. And crucially, it can only be done together. Imitating good can only be done together. Be great to say, wow, imitating good would be so easy if it didn't involve other people, if I could just go do it by myself, if it didn't involve the difficult people. But man, listen to the words John writes at the end of this letter, verse 13. He said, I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you, John says. Our friends here, these are believers, the friends that were with John, he says, the friends greet you. Greet the friends there, every one of them. And I'll leave you with this. This is where imitating good actually gets very practical, because every single believer matters to Jesus. Every one of them matters. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. If each one of us matters to Jesus, then imitating good, it at least starts with each one of us mattering to each other. And it means each one of those who have yet to know Jesus Christ still matters to God. John is doing the exact opposite of what Diotrephes did. Diotrephes would not do good to every other believer. He would not reach out to every other person. John is doing the exact opposite. All the believers here greet you. You greet every one of the believers there. He's teaching them this is what it means to imitate good. If we will welcome each one another in Christ, and if we will reach out to each and every person in our lives because of Jesus, we will be imitators of good. We will be sons of our Father in heaven. Pray with me. Let's ask that God would help us to that end. Father, thank you that you have not left us alone when we have turned away from you. Thank you that you have not left us alone in a world where by our own experience we have felt its fallenness and its brokenness. Thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. Thank you that he has revealed you to us, Father. Revealed to us your standard of perfect obedience, and revealed to us your sacrifice for our sins so that we who are guilty can be forgiven. Thank you that he's shown us what it means then to have gratitude in our hearts, living for the glory of your name and not for our own. Father, we want to be like Jesus. Please forgive us for the ways often where we have painted imitating good into just things that serve us best and are easiest for us to do, and often left undone the things that reflect you best and bless others most. We pray that you would teach us to love like Jesus and to imitate good like Jesus and to do it together, Lord, being a people who are melded together because of the love that we share in Jesus. And we pray that as we are strengthened in your love, that you would give us strength with our hands to keep reaching out to those who desperately need to hear about your love for them in Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen.